Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. In Chapter 10, we affect a change, as it were, in the course of our study. Slight difference that's going to come up going further across the span of the book and the different shoftim, in the sense that, to say it a certain way, we go down a rung. One thing that we hadn't mentioned to this point, but perhaps we should have mentioned, and it's a failure of mine, is an understanding that the leaders of the people mirror where the people are. That is to say, that if we start way at the beginning on an extreme, that where Moshe Rabbeinu was is where the Jewish people were. Now some can say that it's because of Moshe that the people were where they were, so others can say the reverse, which is simply an example. But throughout the stories of the Shoftim, the different judges themselves essentially mirror the spiritual level of the Jewish people. So when you have someone like Gideon, who is regularly questioning and concerned for where the Jewish people are and what's going to be, so then that's where the people are. And when you have an Avimelech, so then that's where those people are too. That's certainly a further down. And going on forward into Yiftach in the next chapter, into Shimshon, and as incredible as these men are, and their stories, as unbelievable as those stories are, understand for me, from the level, from the side of religiosity, emuna, so they match and they mirror where the Jewish people are. And that's significant to keep in mind as we continue. In our chapter today, we get two shoftim in very short shrift. In a few verses, we get to the story of Tola and Yair. And we hear very little about the two of them. Perhaps there's very little to speak about them. Perhaps very little went on during their time. But even further, we can pull out certain details from their story. But what's most significant about the chapter is the second half of the chapter, which is again, for umpteenth time, as it were, the cycle of behavior of the Jewish people, raising the ire of God, their response, their repentance, their asking for forgiveness, so on and so forth, comes out again in full form, in a very serious way in this chapter. And that sets us up for Yiftach in the next chapter. So let's begin. We just came out of the story of Avimelech and the terrible tragedies that he wrought on the people, on his family, the curse of Yosam. And now there's sort of this vacuum at the top, and we come across this person named Tola. And the text begins as follows. Vayakom acharei Avimelech lehoshia es Yisrael, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo Ish Yisachar. After Avimelech arises as a savior for the Jewish people, this person named Tola, who is the son of Pua, who can be understood as the son of a person named Dodo, as many of the commentaries offer, Mitzudas Tzion amongst them, Rashi also, ben Dodo is the name of a person, not the son of his uncle. Although, that is a possibility, and there are understandings in the commentaries that if in fact it is the son of an uncle, then he is in fact related in some way to Avimelech, although that, how we would figure that out, I don't know. But this man named Tola ben Pua stands up, and he's an Ish Yisachar, he's from the Yisachar, v'hu yoshev b'shamir b'har Ephraim, and he sits in a place called Shamir in Har Ephraim, on Har Ephraim. Interestingly enough, it's worth pointing out in the text, and the Radak explains this a little bit further, that Tola rises as a Moshia, as a savior for the Jewish people, after Avimelech. And the Radak says as follows, Shegam Avimelech Hoshia es Yisrael, that even Avimelech, in some manner, was a savior for the Jewish people. V'yafal pi shelo nizkar, even though it's not explicit and it's not obvious to us, Kevan she'amar acharei Avimelech, since it says in the text, after Avimelech, nireh shegam hu Hoshia Yisrael miyad oyveihem. It seems that he also saved the Jewish people from their enemies. V'ilu lo kein, for if it would not so, lo haya omer acharei, then he would not have listed or not have written the words acharei, lo haya nimne im shofte Yisrael, and it would not have counted him amongst the shoftim, the judges of the Jewish people, v'lo ne'emar alav vayosar al Yisrael. And we saw in the text in the last chapter, it would not say also that vayosar, that he was some sort of a sar, a prince, a viceroy, a leader of the Jewish people. So that there's this notion the Radak seems to understand that for all of Avimelech's bad, there's some value in his 3 years as a leader, in that he, the enemies of the Jewish people, other than their own themselves, did not attack the Jewish people. But with respect to Tola, we learned very little, other than he stood up at this point, and that he's from Yisachar. And in verse 2, Vayishpot es Yisrael esrim v'shalosh shana, that he judges the people for 23 years, Vayomas vayikaver b'shamir. And he passes away, and he's buried in the place called Shamir. And that's the end of Tola. 23 years. Most of the commentaries talk about the notion that it's really 22 and a half years, and then in the half of that third year, of that last year, he passes away, and the second half of that last year belongs to our next Shofet, Ya'ir HaGiladi. So in verse 3, 4, and 5, we hear very briefly about his person in Ya'ir of Gilad. Gilad is the area of Menashe on the eastern side of the Yarden. And we hear about Yair's family, and we hear about Yair's cities, and we hear about their donkeys. And that's very much all of what we hear about him. Vayakam acharav Yair HaGiladi, after Tola rises his person named Yair HaGiladi, Vayishpot es Yisrael esim ushtayim shana, and he judges the Jewish people for 22 years. To sach hakol, between Tola and Yair, you have 55 to 56 years where the Jewish people have a leader. It's not a small period of time. And now we get a little bit of a story. Vehi lo shloshim banim, rochvim al shloshim ayerim, and he had 30 sons that rode on 30 donkeys, or 30 colts, u'shloshim ayerim lahem, and they had 30 cities. Lahem yikru'u Chavos Ya'ir ad hayom hazeh, and they were called the Chavos Ya'ir, the villages of Ya'ir until this day, asher be'eretz ha-Gilad, and they were in the land of Gilad. Vayamas Ya'ir vayikavir be'kamon, and Ya'ir passes away at the end of those 22 years, and he's buried in a place called Kamon. Before continuing into the second cycle, so as little as is mentioned about Tola, and as little as is mentioned about Ya'ir, we get this verse about Ya'ir that he has a lot of children, he has a lot of towns, and they're called Chavos Ya'ir. So what does that mean, and how does that help us at all? So the Radak essentially explains what he's doing here. In the middle of verse 4, the Radak says as follows. Sipur zeh lohodiya sibas heyoto shofet. The story here is told to us about his 30 cities and his 30 animals and his 30 sons to explain the reason as to why he is in fact a judge. Ki gadol haya, because he was great. V'nichbad ba'osher, and he was honored with great wealth. U'bebanim, and with children. V'chavod, and with honor, with dignity. V'chol echad mibanav haya nichbad rochev al a yaraton, and each one of his children would ride on a certain quality, a certain valued animal, so that he was sort of viewed as having an elevated status amongst the people, and somehow that led him to be elevated beyond everybody else. The Radak then goes on to explain that this is not the same Ya'ir as the Ya'ir that we have in the Torah, Ya'ir ben Menashe. It's simply too many years. Rather, it's some sort of a descendant of that person, which will lead us into perhaps the following explanation, which I saw in an article written by Rabbi Michael Hatton, who goes on to explain, and we'll go very shortly. Rabbi Michael Hatton explains that perhaps this Ya'ir, who is named after a namesake of Ya'ir ben Menashe, the famous original Ya'ir who captures land in Gilad all those years ago, that perhaps what we get here is somebody who's trying to reinvigorate and reanimate the past, at least the way I understood the article, and that what Ya'ir is trying to do is to connect himself to the person who lived all those generations before, and to attach that status to him. That person was a gibor, that person was a gavra, that person was a force in the Jewish people. He captured all these towns, he took territory. One could say about that Ya'ir, the original Ya'ir, that he inherited land the old-fashioned way. You know, they could say that he earned it, right? He battled for it, he took it. But there's great irony in the sense that, according to many of the commentaries, that Ya'ir ben Menashe really simply aligned himself with Menashe and aligned himself with a certain, with that tribe, although that's not exactly his tribe. That many of the understandings is that that Ya'ir in fact belonged to Yehuda. So here you have a person now who's trying to ascribe a relationship and a connection to a person of a great person of the past, who in fact is not a relative directly, and is not in fact of the same tribe. And then perhaps what's being written here, that you have Shloshim Banim Rochim Ashloshim Ayarim Ushloshim Ayarim Lahem, that it's sort of comical almost in a certain sense. You have this man riding with his 30 children on their 30 horses through 30 towns, trying to elicit and to try to create an aura of grandeur, an aura of power, that perhaps doesn't in fact exist, but perhaps is very telling with respect to where the Jewish people are. That in fact they themselves live in a vacuum, in a void period where there's nobody. And this person assumes this role. He's a great person, no question. But at the same time, he's not creating and he's not igniting any sort of a flame in the Jewish people, such that when he passes away, we get the rest of our chapter, which is an abysmal discussion and an abysmal display of the behaviors of the Jewish people. So it's with which we continue now. V'yosifu b'nei Yisrael asos hara b'nei Adonai. In verse 6, people add on, right? The term Vayosifu is the term that we've seen before. They're now worshipping idols again. They're doing bad, evil in the eyes of God. But here they've taken it to a new level. It's almost an all-star team of idol worship that you have in the list here. 7 in total. Whereas before, perhaps it was 1, perhaps it was 2, which is certainly bad enough. Here we get 7. Va'yavdu es ha-be'alim ve'es ha-ashtaros ve'es Elohei Aram ve'es Elohei Tzidon ve'es Elohei Moav ve'es Elohei B'nei Amon ve'es Elohei Plishtim. Whew, what a list. You have Baal, you have Ashtaroth, you have the gods of Aram, you have the gods of Tzidon, you have the gods of Moab, the gods of Ammon, the gods of the Plishtim. The Jewish people are all over the place. Ve'yazvu es Adonai ve'lo avaduhu. So one could think that after all that list that that would be superfluous, but essentially it means two things. What you have is not only did they worship these other gods and did they serve these other gods, but they weren't even worshiping them in sort of an alliance with their worship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were not connected to God at all. They left God. Not only did they not serve God, they left God. And now God's ire is riled up, and he's angry, And God burns at the Jewish people, essentially. And he sells them out again, right? Judas Zion says, Vayim Kirem is Masaram. He gives them over to the Plishtim and to Ammon. Vayiratzu Vayirotitzu as B'nei Yisrael Bashanahahi. And they break the Jewish people and they crush the Jewish people. They beat them down in that year. And the way a commentary is explained, Bashanahahi Shmona Asrei Shana. And for 18 years to follow, Eskol B'nei Yisrael Asher Be'eva Hayardin Be'eretz Ha'amoriya Asher Be'gilad. Everybody on that side of the river, that side of the Jordan, the Amori side, which is the land of Gilad, the side where you have Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. Vayavru b'nei Ammon es ha-Yarden, and now the family of Ammon crosses the river. Again, it's never a coincidence who exactly the enemies are. You have Ammon, who is the relative, quote-unquote, and you have the Plishtim, who is sort of the random enemy. They cross the river. They fight with Yehuda, with Binyamin and Ephraim. But and they cause great pain and great suffering to the Jewish people. Here again is our cycle. They cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu and they say as follows. This time we get more. We have sinned against you. And we have left you and we have served their gods. We have worshipped Baal. So here it's a full-on admission of guilt, of idol worship, of rebellion, of abandonment. And God speaks back. And God speaks back in the manner in which God seems to always speak back to the Jewish people, bringing up history, bringing up that which has happened till this point. This is not the first time we're coming across each other in our history. In fact, we have a bit of a relationship. We belong together. We're connected. We have a covenantal bond. We're united. Vayomer Adonai in verse 11. Vayomer Adonai b'nei Yisrael halom mitzrayim min ha'emorim min b'nei Ammon min ha'plishtim min plishtim. Is it not true that from the Mitzrayim and the Emori and the Ammon and b'nei Ammon and the Plishtim v'tzidonim v'amalek u'ma'on lachatzu aschem? All these different nations attacked you, oppressed you, caused you pain. And you called out to me, you cried out to me in great sorrow and great suffering and great pain. I saved you from their hands. I was your salvation. And you left me. And not only did you leave me, you worshipped other gods. Lachein, la'osif la'hoshia eschem. Gemarnu, no longer will I do this for you. I will no longer be the savior for you. And now in a sort of a mocking manner, but straight to the point, lichu v'za'aku el ha'elohim asher b'chartem ba. Go and cry out to the gods that you've chosen. Don't waste your time with me. I'm not interested anymore. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying. We've heard this refrain before. We'll hear it again in other places. A sense of mocking the idol worshippers. You believe in that God? Look, hey, that's your God. So go worship that person. Go lay your claims there. Go cry out there. Hey, ma yoshia lachem ba'eis tzaraschem at the end of verse 14. They will be your salvation in your times of need, in your times of distress. B'nei Yisrael, no, they cry back. Vayomru b'nei Yisrael al Adonai chatanu. We have sinned. Do whatever you feel you need to do from us. Whatever is good in your eyes, do it. But save us on this day. Rescue us. Do something for us. Save us here at this moment. Jewish people are at a loss. They realize their place. They realize their mistakes. They are in full repentance mode. Charata, vidui, the whole business. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They take the gods out and they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what's the terminology? How do you handle this? It's over and over and over again. It doesn't end. It just doesn't stop. The Metzudas David explains, Ratzalomar, Katzur Ritzono Shemakom B'Dvar Amal Yisrael. God is, he's had enough. He can't tolerate it anymore. Kimitchila Haya Ratzon Amakom L'Harbos Amlam B'Avur Chatam Harav. Because initially HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that if, okay, they're going to be bad, so then he's going to increase, right, he's going to increase the pain, he's increased the suffering because of their evil, with the hope that they'll return. Vata b'shuvam l'Hashem, and now with the return to God, katzer etzonam l'harbos amal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now with their return, he doesn't want to give this to them anymore. He doesn't want to burden them with this anymore. He can't handle this anymore. Ratzalomar, says the Metzudas David, Nacham Hashem al Hara. God has essentially has had enough. Mercy. And here, Kadosh Baruch Hu has finished. He's had enough. So Yitzaku b'nei Amon v'yachanu b'gilad. And now as the story ends, we set ourselves up for the last chapter. The next chapter, sorry, where we're setting ourselves up to look. The Jewish people are looking for a leader. They're looking for someone in charge. They have Amon as a pain, as a thorn in the side, and now they have to do something. They have to find a way to defeat them. Vayitzaku b'nei Amon v'yachnu b'Gilad. Here, Vayitzaku is a notion of gathering. They gather by Gilad. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael v'yachnu b'mitzvah. The Jewish people gather and they settle in a place in the mitzvah. Place called Mitzvah. Vayomru ha'am sarei Gilad ish areihu. They're at a loss. One man says to another, each to his friend, Mi ha'ish asher yachel li lachim bevnei Amon. Who is the person who's going to be the person to battle against them? Yehiel l'rosh l'chol yoshei Gilad. That person will become the leader for all the families of Gilad. That person will lead us. That person will become our future leader. They had no per se advantage. They had no per se anything in their favor that's working for them as a merit to be victorious. And they need a person. They need a victor. They need something. The hope is that they're able to find it. And they find it in the body of Yiftach, beginning in the coming chapter.